since 1988.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Okay, so basically Chris O'Brien's taking on his cryptozoological voice, getting deeper and deeper as we think about the strange creatures. Now, we have people in our forums, J.C. Johnson, who are skeptical about the reality of a lot of strange things, so they're going to demand evidence. So to start with anything, all this stuff is going on. What about photographic evidence?
Nothing so far as you could go with the snake. I do have a YouTube video, Crypto Four Corners, CryptoFourCorners, Crypto Four Corners channel on YouTube. And we do have a witness. We leave our vehicles. He's out in the middle of nowhere. He's over by the Four Corners National Monument, out in the sticks a little bit. We leave our vehicles there sometimes for 2 or 3 days on these river trips until we can come back and retrieve the vehicles. And he came down one day on, I think it was July the 7th, 2007, the 777 trip. I was with Manny Wheeler from the Hurt Museum and some other good friends I just met that we had a great time down there. But he started telling about a 30 to 40-foot snake on the opposite bank of the river that his sons saw outsunning itself. So, you know, another eyewitness account there. And I've got him, you know, I've taped him. And I've probably got some snake trails I could attribute to some, maybe something 15 feet long, not that big. But the thing is, we've seen these black snakes come up out of the water, smaller ones. And it kind of scares you because the head pops up out of the water and they look like, you know, a sea serpent. And they look at you and then they go back in the water. So, you know, I don't have to catch one of these leviathans. I can catch a smaller one of these snakes.
Well, that would turn the scientists on their ear because there are no large, snakes in the high mountain desert areas. I mean, timber rattler is about as big as you're going to get. They may get 10 feet, but I've seen one 8 feet. It's probably the most terrified I've ever been in my life. I almost stepped on one. So there are large rattlers, pit vipers, but what you're describing is so off the charts in terms of scientific believability. I mean, your average, biologist would say, you're crazy. There could never be something like that.
Yeah, and even a rock python, if a rock python wintered here, he would get up under the bank. And a rock python might make it here the winter, but I really can't see a cold-blooded creature using the water the way these snakes are in the wintertime and so forth. It's just, it's unfathomable, something cold-blooded to be in near freezing water temperatures and be able to move around and navigate. You know, it makes me scratch my head too, believe me.
Well, I thought maybe, those poor sheep herders out there, they would have, enough on their hands dealing with, possible sheep rustlers and stuff. But to have to wrestle with a 40, 50, 60-foot snake because it's trying to make a meal out of one of your sheep, that would be pretty scary. And I'm sure especially on the Navajo reservation, that would be something that would freak the neighborhood out big time.
You know, I was talking with another gentleman. One was caught, a black snake was caught in an irrigation pipe, a very large irrigation pipe. And he said the head was probably 2 feet across, and it was stuck in the pipe. And he went home to get his shotgun, and he was going to dispatch this thing and drag it out of the pipe because he could tell it was stuck. When he got back, it was already gone, so it must have gotten out, dropped into the irrigation water, and took off. We've had some mysterious deaths in some of the irrigation channels on the reservation where people have just been pulled down by something, and they disappear.
That sounds like a horror movie.
Exactly. Yeah. Are there any traditional legends, myths, stories on the res? I personally have never heard
The Hopi used to have.
Palulukang is a Hopi version of this. that may be related, but why don't you give us some more of a prehistorical sense of how the natives view these things?
They stay away from them, typically. The snake is not a good thing in Native American lore. In fact, most of them aren't supposed to have them for pets or anything of that nature. There's big taboo with snakes. But yeah, I was probably just going to share some of the Hopi stories of the giant snakes, and they still have giant snakes up there. They won't let you see. They won't share with science that they feed and use in ceremonies.
Wow.
But there was one that they fed babies.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I heard the story, and then a rancher came across a swath in the snow about 3 feet wide, and he followed it for some miles, and he was pretty convinced that it was one of those snakes that had gotten away or had been turned loose.
That's spooky.
Leonard Dan has a contact with the Laguna Pueblo people, Chief Dan, Leonard Dan. He's a Navajo elder. Known him for about 20 years, married in with his stepdaughter 20-some years ago. So we're not married anymore, but I've known him that long, and I've got to travel the country with him. He could track a cricket through the snowstorm. He's just an amazing tracker and amazing knowledge and wisdom. But he was talking with a rancher over by Laguna Pueblo, where two of the riders over a period of time did not come back, that were out working the cattle and such. And all they found was some of the horse tack and saddles, and it said they looked like they'd passed through acid. The story goes, he finally trailed this thing, and he went and got a bunch of help from his family to kill it, but it was some type of snake in a 100-foot variety, and it had taken horse and rider.
I hear this, you know, I'm thinking here, all this stuff is going on, people are getting killed. Why isn't the scientific community coming over and investigating and figuring out what is going on?
I think all we can do is make the best case for what's going on out here, and we've probably got well over 30 videos up on the YouTube with different investigations, different genres, and things like that. We're just making a good case for what we're doing here.
Now, do you?
A lot of this stuff never makes it off the res.
No.
Native American reservations.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. You know, I was watching Chris on a video. I think he got taped about the same time I was taped up there at the Dulce conference. But, you know, I remember Chris talking about, I'd like to write a book about skinwalkers. You've just said something about skinwalkers. I can't get anybody to talk. You know, and with our documentary, Navajo Skinwalkers and Legends, we do have quite a few on cameras with people and talking about the genre and what they saw.
Well,
that's a
that
whole
brings
other
up a really
thing.
Interesting. Yeah, that brings up a really interesting sort of topic here. Let's talk about skinwalkers a little bit. First, why don't you go ahead for our audience and define what a traditional skinwalker is, and then look at how this particular term has been kind of morphed into the modern era. And describe a couple of your cases. I mean, this is fascinating material, and not for the faint of heart, I must add.
The skinwalker, we'll go back with the Diné, the Navajo. Once upon a time, the skinwalker worked with the Diné, the Navajo. They would take a shape and go spy on the conquistadors, the Spanish.
Take a shape, meaning they were shapeshifters.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they could basically turn themselves into anyone or anything.
I think they're limited on that, and I think it's their study, their case study of whatever it is they want to emulate, whatever animal they want to emulate. I think they're somewhat limited. I don't think you could go from a grizzly bear to an elk to a coyote. I don't think they have that ability. I could be mistaken. But they would spy in the cavalry also and come back and tell what was going on, what they understood, where the attack was going to be, things like that. They used to work with the Diné, the Navajo. When we go to Fort Sumner, when the Navajos are all rounded up and incarcerated, the ones they could catch and capture, they learned the white man ways. In fact, you know, your traditional blue velvet dressing of the Navajo isn't their tradition. It's the color of the cavalry. And that's, you see them dressing like that with that blue color. They got that from the cavalry.
The skinwalker is being defined, explained by J.C. Johnson. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com. Spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com. Or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
With the economic bad news getting worse each day, are you ready for the hard times ahead? This is Alex Jones with a special self-reliance report. I've said on this program before that studies show that in a true crisis, 8 out of 10 people will remain sheep-like and passive, frozen like deer in headlights of an oncoming car, waiting for others for help. 1 out of 10 will actually panic and endanger family and friends as they melt down. And only 1 out of 10 will take swift and decisive action when the going gets tough, dramatically increasing their chances of survival. Folks, I've just read a new book called Ready for Anything. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to increase their chances of survival in the coming hard times ahead. To read more about this important new book, go to readyforanythingmanual.com. That's readyforanythingmanual.com. I've got my copy. Get yours today at readyforanythingmanual.com. That's readyforanythingmanual.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from TheParacast.com. That's TheParacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We're looking, searching for skinwalkers with J.C. Johnson, with Gene and Chris on The Paracast. J.C., please continue your description.
Well, The incarceration is where they came up with their love for silver and things like that, because they saw the buttons on the cavalry uniforms, and a lot of the cavalrymen wore silver and things like that. And you know, they came away with some really bad habits from their incarceration. They came to know the white man's flour, the white man's coffee and things like that. You know, they wanted these things once they were set free and they went back to their home place. They'd also learned what possessions were. They also learned what property was and things like that, where they didn't have that need before. Everything belonged to all of them, and they all shared it. They get
it back, sounds get, like, I'm going to be funny about this, it sounds like they were communists.
Probably more along the lines of socialism, I would say. Okay. But yeah, they all worked together. They got the food up for the winter to get through a hard winter. I mean, they all had to work together out of necessity. When they get back, they go back to their tribal lands. They're all a lot of different sections of land. And they start running sheep where they can. They run cattle and so forth. They've learned jealousy. Perhaps your neighbor's doing a lot better with his sheep and cattle than you are. Well, skinwalkers still around. The ones who knew how to do it, they're still around. But they aren't really in the mind to help anybody. They're used to go out and curse people. They're used to go out and frighten people and kill people because they'd learned the white man ways. Where skinwalker used to help the Dene, the Navajo, skinwalker becomes an instrument of evil for hire.
It's like a supernatural hitman.
Yeah.
With death down magic and the corpse powder. And
yeah. So what happens? Let's talk about modern day. I want to join this exclusive club for whatever reason. I have to bring in someone near and dear to me, perhaps a sibling, a brother, a sister, a mother, a grandmother, someone that's near and dear that I love dearly, and they're going to be sacrificed. Then we're going to dine on some of the softer tissues of the body. There will be some elders who will probably practice some necrophilia if they find the corpse pleasing enough. And then from there, we're going to make potions and powders and everything else out of the sacrifice I've brought in. From there, I'm going to apprentice with an elder, and I'm going to start to wear the hide of the animal that suits me or the animal I'm going to emulate. And eventually, with enough evil and cooperation...
Are you describing like a medicine society? So in other words, This is a secret society of witches, basically, is what you're describing.
Very diabolical, yes. Very diabolical. So as you apprentice, eventually, there's a transition. At some point in time, you're actually probably able to emulate whatever you're trying to be, probably 80 or 90%, maybe a little bit better than that. Typically, what I've investigated out here, almost 90% of what I run into. And the reason we went out on all this stuff is because when we decided we were going to go after this, especially when I relocated to the Four Corners area, we followed up on every sighting. A lot of times, a skinwalker sighting with Masana and Che, the grandmother, grandfather type, you know, everything is Yetso, Meetso, Yana, Klushi, whatever. We followed up on everything, no matter what it was. We followed up on it. And the more I found out about skinwalker, and like I said, I've been with the Dene Navajo over 20 years. I've had my fair share of diet of what these are, and it's not something I really paid a lot of attention to. I'm like, this is culture, this is blah, blah, blah. You know, the more we found out about what it was really all about, and 90% of the people I work with in my crew out here are Native American, and they all agree that homicide, necrophilia, cannibalism, and child abuse have no place in any culture. So it's not a culture thing, and I'm not going to regard it as such. This is just pure, unadulterated evil. I've seen it destroy entire clans of Navajo. I've seen it destroy families of Navajo. Once you're in this club, you need to go out and turn all your immediate relation into this club. And they need to become a part of it, or eventually they become a sacrifice, or die of mysterious causes, car accidents, things like that, heart attacks. They've got powders that give you a heart attack. They've got powders that make your throat just shut and you suffocate, you die. There's really nasty, nasty stuff.
Boy, it's kind of tough to follow up on that. Well, one thing that I've discovered, JC, in my research, is that if there is one subject that is the most taboo subject with the Dene, Apache and Navajo, for that matter, it would be the subject of skinwalkers. And I've also discovered what I feel are accounts of wannabe skinwalkers who palm themselves off as the real thing being used to, you know, create mischief among enemies of the particular person that hires them. That
okay,
sort of
so
thing.
Wannabes are just regular people who pretend to be paranormal people.
Exactly. But one thing that I think separates the wannabe types with the real thing is that alleged ability to shapeshift. And I think this is one of the key things that actually inspired me to do all the research that went into my book on the trickster. And these are trickster type forms, and they allegedly are able to, they do have this fantastic ability of shapeshifting, even into balls of light. It depends on which particular pueblo you go to on the Rio Grande, for instance. There's kind of a variation that ebbs and flows up the Rio Grande. But the purest tradition of this, which JC has been describing, is the Diné tradition and the Apache tradition. And why don't you describe to us some of the cases that you've actually gone out on? Your documentary, I think, is a must-see for anybody interested in this subject. And describe some of the more prevalent types of encounters that people driving through the res, for instance, would have just an coincidental encounter with a form like this, a black magician type form.
Once again, like I said, probably almost everything I've investigated is a wolfen type creature that walks upright, as in something akin to a werewolf, only these are something different because we do look into the weir. The weir is a Caucasian thing, almost exclusively a Caucasian thing, as in werewolf. That's another story.
All right, that's an interesting question here. Why only white werewolves? Why not black or Asian werewolves?
Well, I'm sure that's the possibilities too, but it's been our experience. We found a weir track on the reservation a few years back, and it just really struck me funny. What are they doing out here? And the skinwalker avoid the weir. They don't have anything to do with them. They're all evil. I mean, they can probably get together and sit down with some at an evil bar somewhere. I don't know, but, you know.
Evil bar. You know, I want to tell you something before we go on. I'm listening to this discussion about all these creatures, and I'm thinking the TV show True Blood. You know, because all these creatures are just part of the environment. You don't think about them. Of course, in True Blood, you have vampires and werewolves and shapeshifters and heaven knows what. Heaven knows what kind of creature we're going to be exposed to next with J.C. Johnson, with Gene and Chris on
The Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Hi, this is Clifford Cliff, the International Director for the Mutual UFO Network. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
We are not doing the show when the full moon is bright, but you kind of wonder.
Fortunately.
Yes. What?
I'm sitting here getting creeped out, just sitting here at my desk, Sarah Jean.
Well, I am just sitting here relaxing in our studio, hoping that I won't turn around and see something watching. Okay, now, in terms of a skinwalk, tell me, J.C. Johnson, does it have a native shape? Is there a specific shape that it will go back to or start with?
You know, interviewing people and so forth who have had encounters and used firearms when they were in a physical form and pursued these things, the wolf prints turn into human footprints in the sand. And a lot of times they've tracked them down to a hogan they've gone to take shelter in or their home place, and they become a person again. This is a concern of ours. You know, if you're really careful what you shoot out there, you know, you don't know if it's going to turn back into a person.
And the other question would be, when you talk to a person, how do you know it's not one of them?
Exactly. And you know, that's why Chief Dan, Leonard Dan, it's like, be careful in a crowd. They'll go throw this powder on you, or they'll put it on your popcorn. So you're walking around.
Well, they'll go out where you've taken a leak out in the sand, or that's why Navajo never leave their shoes outside of the hogan. There's a whole cultural system of protection that has developed over the eons, many generations, where there's certain things that a skinwalker, if it gathers, nail clippings, hair cuttings, residue from inside your shoes, for instance, these are things that a skinwalker in the tradition are able to utilize. And so the Navajo are very, very careful about this. And I've mentioned this on the show
before. Explain to me, Chris, how do they utilize this? What do they do with that stuff?
Well, it's a form of sympathetic magic, in a sense. It a skinwalker requires, from my limited knowledge, JC knows a lot more about this, so I would love to hear your comments, JC, on this. But from what I gather, the easiest and most direct way for a skinwalker to, you know, do whatever task it is that they've been hired for or whatever task it is that they're trying to accomplish is to gather actual genetic material from a victim, and then that way they can do this form of very intense sympathetic magic, I think, for lack of a better term. JC, you've heard that too, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The problem we've got with, and I don't know, when Ron James did that production, Mysterious Creatures of the Southwest, right. You guys were great about letting me share without being edited on the Skinwalker, and I appreciate that. Sympathetic magic, I don't know. And I've seen a lot of psychosomatic things happen to people also that worries me. I think the thing that worries me most is when they take on a shape that can be a destructive shape. We've got a 9-foot-tall wolf and individual. He could rip that door off and go inside and get those kids. He could crash through the window and go and get those kids. If you remember, I think it was Emily, when she was maybe 7 or 8, and her younger cousins and siblings are in the home, and they were home alone, this thing's standing right outside the door, and it's trying to hypnotize her niece to open the door. Invite me in. Invite me in. That's what's going on with that. But they can't come in. They can't just bash the door down. There's divine protection, I believe, in a lot of cases where they have to
be
invited.
Well, it's like a vampire. You have to, a vampire can only get in your house if you invite them in, is the old folkloric tradition.
Exactly.
But another thing, they'll break glass all around the outside of their hogan as like an early warning system, so that if they hear the crunching glass, that they'll be alerted to the presence of something that shouldn't be there. But skinwalkers also, the ability that I find most disturbing, this alleged ability of these dark adepts, as I call them, because they are like black magicians, basically, I think, if you had to boil it down to a particular definition. The ability to lock eyes with an individual and then jump into them and totally take over their motor skills. So the person is totally conscious, but something else is making them walk, making them talk, making them go places, making them do things. This is this to me would be the most horrific thing. And you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, when I do my tours up to Grand Canyon, I spend time at the Cameron Trading Post routinely. Hundreds and hundreds of times I've been there. And when I was researching my chapter on skinwalkers, I happened to ask one of the young Dene guys that was there, if I could talk to him about a Kachina doll that they had in their gallery that was of a skinwalker. And that guy, if he sees me, he will go the other way now. I mean, for 5 years, I've watched him avoid me. Every time I come around, he will not look me in the eye. I mean, he's like deathly afraid of me just because I asked about it. And then I found out from one of the other workers there that he was actually in training as an apprentice medicine society trainee, and that was the worst thing that I ever could have said to him or even mentioned to him.
Oh,
he says he would never, ever talk to you again. He'll avoid you. And this guy works in retail. So, you know, it gives you an insight into how superstitious and how very, very – I don't know what the term is. Paranoid, I guess, lack of a better term. They're very paranoid up there about these particular forms. You know, I wouldn't know where else to take the conversation in this regard, Gene. But we've got a lot of other ground to cover. I'm getting creeped out just thinking about it myself. But
I'll tell you what, a lot of our listeners hear our show in the middle of the night with their headsets on their iPads, iPhones, iPods, and this is going to creep out a lot of people, but you know what? We're going to have to do it. If there are such creatures as skinwalkers and Bigfoot and big snakes running around loose, we have to talk about it. So are we safe, JC, if we're in the big city?
Here's what Leonard Dan brought up, too, is some very wealthy people are paying shamans to come and show them how to do this. And his concern, these are Caucasian people, His concern is, what if Al-Qaeda gets the ability to be invisible and goes into a facility? What if Al-Qaeda, you know, that's Leonard talking, but I mean, the mere fact is people are paying to learn how to do this. And
oh, man, that's scary. Donald Rumsfeld has a house in Taos. Could you imagine him getting trained to be a skinwalker? That's frightening. Or Dick Cheney.
Okay, so I'm asking here, you're not born a skinwalker, you can become one?
You become one.
Oh.
You become
one. Yeah, you're trained. It's a training.
Number one, you bring in that near-and-dear sacrifice, and they are killed. And they kill people all the time. All the time. They're sent out to do evil all the time. They do not benefit the Diné, and there's hardly any good medicine left out here. Back when we used to heal with herbs and things from God's green earth or God's dusty earth, whatever the case, we're not practicing good medicine anymore. We're paying to have curses lifted, and we're being paid to curse people. That's the medicine out here, and it's disgusting. I've known some good medicine people. They're all dead. I think the last good medicine man got thrown out of the back of a pickup truck not far from Cameron back in the mid-90s. They killed him. He got paid in chickens. You know, you paid him whatever you could, but he came in with herbs and natural healing things like a medicine man's supposed to do. What has come down to now is curses, 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 this, that, hexes, stuff like that. There's hardly any good medicine anywhere anymore.
Yeah, on the res, of course. We've got to qualify that. And this, again, Gene, we do have to remember that the Diné people, the Apache and Navajo, are very superstitious. I mean, we're talking deeply ingrained fear and mistrust of strangers. This is something that has been building for generations in terms of the, you know, the traditional knowledge being passed along and it gaining power.
I'll tell you what,
that these people
we have
believe
some power.
In this is
we
powerful.
We have to accept the power of our sponsors. We're talking to J.C. Johnson with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. This holiday season, more than half of our nation is in need of help due to the shattered economy. So now is the time to express the holiday spirit more than ever. Consider helping those you love with the most important gift, a supply of delicious, easy-to-fix, and very storable foods from eFoodsDirect.com. Their holiday gift and family pack start at $99 for a 16-day supply, while their 5-week supply of quick and easy to fix meals includes a personal backpack in case of a grab and go emergency. Order their combo gift pack and you'll save hundreds, plus get free shipping on your entire order. Call eFoods today at 800-409-5633 or visit them online at eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the special. That's 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. You can bet your life on eFoods Direct.
Thank you.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
Has Chris been possessed by something? What is he becoming? I don't know what I'm becoming, but that's another story. You're in the Paracast. We're talking to J.C. Johnson. He's an outdoorsman. We're exploring strange creatures, strange and terrifying creatures. Tell us more, Chris.
Well, J.C., last time I really had an extended conversation with you was about 3 weeks ago. And I recently was up in Utah in the Uinta Basin helping out a film production company to do a shoot around the Sherman Ranch there, the Skinwalker Ranch case. While I was up there, we had two reports come into Moab, Utah, to a friend of mine, Ron Regera, I think you've met him as well, who runs an RV park there. And two unrelated reports came in of a small bipedal, what was described as like a miniature Allosaurus or a Camptosaurus. Let's talk about these other reptile forms that have been reported in the Four Corners area. And this is, I think, going to be news to a lot of people that dinosaur-type forms have been actually reported more than you would suspect. You would think that somebody would misidentify maybe an iguana or some sort of lizard running on its back legs or something. But these are different. There's something very, I think, interesting here. And why don't you give us a little background on your particular investigative work in this area and give us a description of these creatures?
I heard about this several years ago, and it was actually from some Caucasian people who had properties up on the Animas River, which goes up into Colorado, up near Durango, Colorado. And they were talking about, they call them river dinos. And they described something of a mini T-Rex, 3 to 4 feet tall. Lots of reports. And then we've also got a few reports off the reservation. We've probably got four or five different, and I call them relic reptiles. I'm not going to say the dinosaur word, but we've got probably three or four different entities described on the reservation. Also one that was eyewitnessed by my son with me on a little outing we did in Red Valley. But the river dinos look like little mini T-Rexes, 3 to 4 feet tall. They probably weigh 100, 150 pounds, and they resemble a T-Rex. And they're often seen in packs, 3 or 4 or 5, 6 maybe, together. hunting in a pack or working in a pack and witnessed pretty regularly by Caucasian people also. So I found this fascinating. There was a gentleman we talked to, I think David Hatcher Childress was talking to him also, about these semi-petrified, semi-fresh examples that were up at the Cortez Museum for several years. They weren't quite fossilized, petrified. There was still some fresh, stinky tissue involved with these creatures. They couldn't have been that old, but they were reminiscent of the mini T-Rex. And I don't know what happened to the specimens. I don't believe this gentleman we were talking to knows either what happened to the specimens, but they weren't that old.
This is one issue I'll raise. Do you ever find situations here where people are pulling the wool over your eyes, trying to fool you with something that didn't really happen?
Typically, you know, something of that case I would follow up on, and we've got some other stories of the people who have seen these displays that were in the museum that disappeared some years ago. So something like that I follow up on. I try to get reimburse the accusation. It's what I do. And then once again, just all the different sightings of the mini T-Rexes, firsthand, close accounts. A young man climbed up a ridge and he saw this tail flapping around. He didn't know what it was. And this thing turned around and looked at him right dead on, 3 or 4 feet tall, and he said it screamed at him, and he ran, and he got on his bicycle and got away from it. But, you know, a very physical creature. The creature, we're on the track of something that's bipedal in nature. It leaves a three-toed track that's identical to fossilized prints in the area. The thing is, these tracks are less than a month old, and it had come through when it was wet, and it had to get up this slippery slope. And why I'm believing bipedal in nature is the front paws had to come down, and they looked like mittens. So we probably had something with digits that would resemble, you know, a hand on a reptilian-type creature. And I think Leonard, our tracker, put the weight at around 16 to 1,800 pounds. And that's we tracked big. This for a while. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got a sheep herder out by Newcomb, New Mexico. I don't think he's with us anymore. I think he passed on. But he had the giant lizard out there on his property. He also has fossilized prints on his property. University of New Mexico shows up. They're knocking on his door. They want to go cast these fossilized prints. And they're like, hey, we've got Subway. We've got some water. And sure, you can come with us and watch them. We won't leave a mess and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you want to see some fresh ones? And he took them down in the wash. And here's these huge, three-toed, fresh prints in the wash. And they're blown away. And they're nearly identical to what they're going to go cast. Actually, they're a little bit larger. And he told him, yeah, he comes through and he takes my sheep. And it wasn't a question of, like, chewing the sheep up and eating it. It was a question of tilting the head back and swallowing a sheep. That's the size of this.
Is a University of New Mexico scientist?
Yes. This is the paleontology department, I believe, as the story was relayed to me. They had come out to cast the fossilized prints. He shows them the first.
What's the time frame? What's the time frame on this?
This would be about 4 years ago.
Interesting. I'll help you do a little digging on that one, because I have some connections at the school.
Cool. We can dig it up. All so right. They're blown away.
Well, Ron Regier just sent me the most amazing petroglyph that's right from your neck of the woods there, JC, and it's like a brontosaurus. Now, why would some paleo man, Folsom man, or I think it may even be older than Folsom man, why would they do a perfect depiction of a long-necked sauropod-type dinosaur in a petroglyph? I mean, I'll post it, and I'm sure we're going to generate quite a thread as a result of this show, and I'll go ahead and post that just so people can see that we even have a prehistory of, you know, a tentative, some tentative evidence of some prehistoric sort of, I don't know, depictions of what would be considered long extinct, you know, dinosaur-type reptoids.
Look at Newspaper Rock out by Holbrook, and there's this great big bird with a man in its mouth. It's a pictograph out there. You know, that's, I mean, they're relaying a story. So obviously there was a bird big enough to pick a man up and put it in his mouth. You wonder about this stuff.
So science wants to tell us that the dinosaurs were gone before man, humans came on to planet Earth. So obviously it's not that way at all.
In the end, which castes went back to the university, the fossilized or the fresh?
Well, I want to help you find out the answer to that question.
The fossilized. Yep. And that's when we're dealing with philosophical paleontology. We deal with philosophical humanology. We deal with all kinds of philosophical situations in this line of endeavor, well, I should say.
Yeah.
So basically what they're doing here is they expect that such creatures do not exist today, therefore we'll put up the fossils. We're not going to show evidence that they are here now.
Yeah. Well, I have a perfect story that illustrates that, Gene. I spoke with a rancher in the northern San Luis Valley who claimed back in the early 80s, without my notes, I'm not sure, it may have been the late 70s, he went ahead and this rancher was doing some excavation work on his ranch in the northern San Luis Valley. Now, this is an alluvial plain. It's about a million years of, you know, erosion coming down from the Sangre de Cristos that layers on the edges of the valley and then piles up. And he found in sand, suspended in sand, the bones of a articulated small 2 foot to 2.5 foot tall dinosaur, which he then packed up, gave it to the Museum of Natural History in Denver, who then claimed when he called back to find out what they thought of it, they said, oh, we never got that. And he personally dropped it off to them. So I tried to get a little headway on this. And, of course, Robert Bakker at the time, I think, was involved there. The famous paleontologist was involved there in their collection. And they just totally went into complete denial and said, we never received anything like that. It would be physically impossible for him to find, you know, the unfossilized remains of a dinosaur in an alluvial plain that's less than a million years old.
I'll tell you what, you know, we will be a lot less than a million years old if we don't do this break. And on the other side, we'll explore more creatures, not from outer space, not from other dimensions or any place like that, but from here on Earth. With J.C. Johnson and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.